Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden here. The Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up, brought to you, as always, by...
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website to check out every day, along with Julie McCallan and the great folks at Cenogenics. Chuck will tell you a little bit more about them. Boy, a lot to talk about. We've got Karen Cataline coming on at 3:30 toward the bottom of the hour to talk about what I'm calling the restaurant revolt and resistance, which I think that there's just so much to talk about here, because I truly believe resistance is really going to be one of the main ways we stand up against all of these government dictatorships. The election stuff, Chuck is from Vanderbilt, and Saturday was outraged at what happened.
Outraged, but just kind of thought it was pathetic.
Okay.
Outrage is too strong.
His alma mater, he said, it was clear. Well, we'll explain all that later. So you want to stay tuned to find out where Chuck was outraged. But first,
maybe I wasn't outraged.
You were disappointed. But with the election, so here's kind of what's going on today. In Georgia, the judge said no, then yes, then no, and basically, right now, the judge is preventing the state from basically messing around with the Dominion software voting systems. What happened is they're like, all of a sudden, immediately, as soon as questions started coming up about it, they're like, oh, gotta make some changes here. We've got that other runoff coming up. And so they were deleting things, erasing things. Sidney Powell and Lyd Wood, those guys who had that lawsuit there, asked the judge to tell them to stop. At first, the judge said yes. Then he said no. And then when election workers, you know, were revealing the fact that they were in that interim period, getting in there and actually playing shenanigans, the judge said, okay, no, you have to stop. So that's out there. The lawyers today for Trump's team presented their case to the Arizona legislature. I think they already did it to the Pennsylvania legislature, right?
Yes.
In Ohio. Okay. Mm-hmm. A Nevada judge, so this would be a court hearing, has agreed to hear some arguments about the case later this week. And then in Pennsylvania, and this just happened, the Republican legislators there passed a resolution,
introduced
a resolution to dispute the results of the election because they say the state and the courts illegally change things around there. So, boom, we've got five. I was going to say, feel free. We'd like you to call us, 888-627-6008. We've already got Don from Colorado Springs on the line, so let's go straight to Don. Hey, Don, happy Monday.
Hey, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
We did.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Like I said, I said it before and so many times, that basically, you know, the fight has to continue, even if Trump has to do it from outside the White House. There's just no other way of doing it. I mean, I have to, like I said, I agree with Peter Boyle's. Biden doesn't have it in the bag yet, but it's trending towards him.
I'm going to read you, Don, a definition I was looking up of PSYOPs. This is from Wikipedia. Operations to convey selected information to the audience to influence their emotions, motives, and reasoning.
That's the definition of mainstream media.
Right. I mean, does that sound familiar to you? Because you know what? If you look around, I mean, I just listened to
And believe me, I'm not trying to defend the media at all.
Oh, no, I know you're not. But I think, though, I think we got to be careful. And here's where I disagree with Peter a little bit, in that I just listed several things that were going on, none of which are going to be reported to the mainstream media. They want us to assume it's over. I mean, I fear that you might be right, but I don't know how much of that is me falling victim to the whole PSYOPs operation, you know?
Well, I mean, like, you know, the thing of it is the media wanted this to go in their favor, and we're seeing some of the media getting their great rewards for helping them out and all that. And now that Fox News has conceded to them, you know, I mean, and while there's an audience decline, you know, I mean, I think basically that the mainstream media is trying to capitalize on this to their advantage by kicking Fox News in the butt.
Yeah, I think
Fox News is kicking themselves in the butt. I saw Eric Sean or something. He was on. you can just tell by their look which ones are really just libtards, and it's amazing.
Their numbers are way. I was with like Martha McCallum's now like 50%.
Well, they're going to go down anyway after.
But this is above and beyond that, I think. So
well, not 50%, but yeah.
And so, I think we have to treat Fox News like we treat any other news organization, even on the news talk radio station that we used to love. You know, treat the news department as left center, if not leftist radical, right. And the opinion people like Mike Rosen. Our opinion guys.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, somebody's, this is from, wait, who's texting this? Oh, Mark is like, who is Fox News? Never heard of him. Yeah, Fox News. You know what's interesting though, Don, and this is what they really worry about, is that when you look at even all of the ratings, right, Rush Limbaugh crushes all of them combined, you know, and conservative talk radio, conservative podcasts crush all of them. I worry. Well, that's why I'm so glad we have a podcast, because I have a feeling that if you're on like a terrestrial radio station, things are going to get kind of ugly. They're going to turn
their attention.
Are
ugly,
well, that's true. But I mean, I think here's the thing. There are lots of conservative voices, and I think we all have to do everything we can, you know, to make sure that we listen to them so we don't fall into, you know, I mean, we don't get conned by what they're trying to do to us, the mainstream media.
Well,
speaking of which, Brigitte Gabriel kind of put on her parlor a statement saying, pray for Rush. So I don't know what that means, if his last days are coming in or whatever.
Could be. But I think you're right. You know, and that'll be a whole show we could do. I think Rush, and we've done it before, Rush Limbaugh completely change the nature of talk radio.
But there's nobody to replace him. There's nobody who does what he does. There's and therefore when his voice goes, whenever it goes, that could be a loss.
The only thing we can do is to continue on and do the kind of conservative radio that we can do, or podcast, whatever. I mean, that's
just
the only
the
thing we can do.
Yep. All right. Hey, Don, thank you for calling. Thank
appreciate
you for listening.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, before I let you go.
Sure.
Oh, before I let you go, I do know what happened at Vanderbilt, you know, and basically this is just an attempt to abolish gender. I mean, it's minor, and there's some worse things we can talk about on a different program, but
it's just a cultural war thing. It's a cultural war.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get to that in a second because, I think
have a good one.
Okay,
all right, nice. Thank you, Don. Thank you. Well, you know, one thing, and maybe we'll see Ben is listening because he had texted me. He goes, hey, are you watching the hearings on Newsmax? If you look, I mean, Newsmax on our Xfinity is channel 1115. I mean, I think it's good. They were carrying the hearings. And Ben, you were watching it. So what was your takeaway from the hearings today? The Trump team presenting their arguments to the Arizona legislature.
Well, that meeting is still continuing.
Right.
I'm actually watching. I got a split screen, so I'm watching you on one side, and I'm watching what's taking place in Arizona on the other. It continues, and it's much more detailed than the Pennsylvania hearing. They are definitely going into some things. There's a doctor, Sheba was his name. I didn't write down his last name, but he offered some evidence showing that there is something that's within the programs that they're using. It's called the weighted race feature. And apparently that's why you're seeing these decimal point votes. Now, he just did an analysis of Maricopa County only.
Okay.
Which showed that Biden was getting 130% of the votes from Democrats, and Trump was getting 100% of the votes coming from the Republicans. And so his point was that this can only happen if you have a software that is manipulating the votes and you're assigning not a full vote as was
right.
Because there was a Supreme Court ruling on that, and where it was just one vote, one person.
Right.
So that was what was going on today. And this, as I said, is continuing on right now. They have another expert on here that's talking right now. I didn't catch his name because I muted that so I could listen to you. You're my favorite, of course.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you. Yeah, well, so, you know what? It is interesting. I saw even in the Washington Examiner, their headline was Trump team presents no new evidence. So at least they're backing off a little bit from saying they're not presenting any evidence. Now, some of the other organizations are just ignoring it, but they're
saying
there's
Examiner considered, you know, that's Phil Entry.
Yeah. But they're saying there's no new evidence. Well, it's like, duh. I mean, they're presenting the same evidence. This happened in, it's the same corruption, right? It happened in this state, then it happened in this state. But even there, they're trying to make it sound like been there, done that, nothing new here, yeah. Nothing new here.
But they're absolutely wrong on that, because this evidence is really coming out. And Chuck, I owe you an apology. You were right when I last Friday, I said, I just started reading the filings from Sidney Powell.
Right.
I thought it was the Georgia filing that only had 75. You said it was 104. So you're right. I was wrong. I read both of those filings. The Michigan filing was 75 pages. That one is really more interesting to me than the Georgia filing. Beginning on page 37 at the bottom of it, that's where it really starts getting interesting about the anomalies that were taking place in the accounting process.
Right.
So that, if you want to read something, probably the Michigan filing beginning at the bottom of page 37 should get a little bit more informative for your viewers.
That's sort of the Cliff Notes version that you were just giving us there.
There's another really good article on Spectator USA. There's the Spectator out of the UK, but the Spectator USA, which goes through, and the person doesn't care one way or the other, says, you know, these troubling aspects, like the fact that so few counties voted for Biden compared to Obama, but Obama won, that there are three cities in which massive black turnout in and would indicate fraudulent ones in Milwaukee, Detroit, and Philadelphia. The number of voters in those places is not to be believed.
Right.
And it's pretty clear that this election was stolen. And the other part is that these machines, you know, and part of the testimony at the hearing, the guy said, you know, how easy it was to hack into a Dominion machine.
Yeah.
And I think it's.
And he did it right there.
Yeah.
He apparently, yeah.
It's far more likely, rather than some huge conspiracy by Dominion, Venezuela, Chile, God knows who else, and so forth, that a few hackers, with the help of the Democratic Party or even overseas people, just hacked in the computers and changed whatever votes there had to be. And there were an awful lot of votes in which the exact same percentage would happen time and time and time and time and time.
And across states, not just in India.
And that was one of the things that was pointed out also this morning by a former military retired, I believe his rank was a colonel, and he was involved in the cyber warfare. And so he was testifying today at Arizona here, and certainly was pointing out all of those issues and those problems as to how this is a backdoor system, and that he, in fact, was a poll watcher, and he went around, it was the second guy that testified, that he went around and actually traced the cables on the ground from these tabulation
to Frankfurt
equipment back to the machine that was hooked up to a modem. And so all of this was illegal, because even in Adams County here, we're supposed to be, secure in that. And ours is not. It was also hooked up.
Right.
Anytime that you have, you know, people ask, well, it's got to be plugged in. Well, it doesn't. Because if you have a cell phone in your pocket, you can become a hotspot if you want. And so there's your modem. So you can stand there in close proximity of these machines that have that wireless capability.
That's a good point.
You become that modem.
You're the whole thing yourself.
All right.
Hey, Ben, we'll let you go back to monitoring. Break in if there's breaking news. All right. We appreciate it. All right. We appreciate it.
Well, let's go to Barney online, whatever it is.
Line two. Hey, Barney. Happy Monday.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. Happy Monday. And thank God Ben's out there. But no matter what I say, Kenny's on my side. So it doesn't matter. I must be right.
That's right. That's right.
So this is not my – I'm not taking credit for this. It was on Mark Stein or Limbaugh's show. A guy said – so could the machines even count 150,000 votes in 5 minutes? So hang on. You take 150,000 votes in 5 minutes in an hour, that's 1.8 million votes. So why are you a-holes still counting ballots? And it just never stops with this. The other, in Pennsylvania, the Heron, the guy, the votes came in a batch, or maybe it was two batches, almost 600,000 votes. 600,000 votes, or 572 or something for Biden,
right,
and 3,000 for Trump. And by the way, you just, he brought up Maricopa County. The only county that maybe the Democrats would have had a shot in, and they voted 130%. So clearly your county, your Mariposa County, is corrupt. I mean,
they're 130%. Yeah. Well, no,
exactly. But why would you even have a machine? All these programs that they're talking about, how you can dump this or dump that or add this or add that. Why would you even, or the machine's going to read this algorithm or that algorithm? That doesn't make any sense on a vote machine. And Ben just brought up, they had these machines hooked to the internet in some places. And by the way, there's a video in Georgia. They're going through ballots. They open them. The woman throws it in the trash. How in the hell? And by the way, wait a minute. We tell Trump, okay, we're just going to, since Biden cheated, no votes count. So you don't get the state either. Well, bullshit.
Yeah.
Trump won Pennsylvania. Those are his votes. Biden's votes are the ones that need to be tossed out. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Barney. And I mean, that's the thing we got to pay attention to, because again, you know, I go back to the PSYOPs. I think that's really happening in this country on a number of levels. And they want to make us think, oh, Trump is wrong. He can't win. So then when they come out and say, ha ha, you know, Biden won, we all go, well, I guess it was, you know, they cheated, but there's nothing we can do. I love Donald Trump saying, I'm putting in 125% of my effort into proving that this was, and you know, that this was a fraud. And I think he's absolutely right when he says to the stupid Republicans, if you guys don't wake up and do something, there will never be a Republican elected.
They don't care. Just look at Colorado.
They don't.
Did you see anybody protesting? Cheat by mail is, forget all the fraudulent stuff. Forget the fraudulent stuff. Cheat by mail
will become.
Well, and it's, you don't even have to cheat.
All you have to do is
go to sand asylums, go to massive apartment houses, go, you know.
Just print them and fill them out.
Well, that's cheating, but the non-cheating, you can do with non-cheating makes the stupid average citizen goes and pulls his vote or something, but you can go to an apartment house of all these 20-year-olds and get 100% vote. I mean, that we allow cheating.
Offer up some free weed. I mean, they can obviously offer up whatever they want.
Yeah. Well, they did for Indian voting. You got TVs. You got everything else to bring out all, so they'd all vote by absentee ballot. I mean, it's just you ought to have to show up at the polls, absent.
Absolutely.
You know, a legitimate reason why you can't be there.
One person, one vote. That's you. They mark you off the list. Yeah. There's no.
It's obscene, and Colorado is a petri dish for it. And all the nice Republicans from Hank Brown to Dick Wadhams really have just thrown us into the garbage pit.
Well, and that's what Trump, I think I agree with Trump, Barney, when he says, you know, you guys got to do something. You got to get rid of mail-in ballots, number one. Otherwise, they'll never win again. But hey, listen, thank you for calling. Thank you for keeping an eye on
things. All right, take care. Thanks a lot.
You too. And this is from Mark, was also listening to Mark Stein. He said, did you hear Mark Stein today as the undocumented host of the Rush Limbaugh show? He told all the viewers that the election was a total fraud in four counties that determined the election. He was really fired up. See, and here's the thing we got to remember. That's a good point. The Democrats did not have to introduce, I mean, they know, let me back up. Ted Trimpa, our Democrat strategist friend, who I got to admit I love, but I'm not really ready to talk to yet, was saying, you know, what they do is they go by in the counties and they determine their win number. So they know in key counties how many votes they need to get. Now, whether they get them or not is a whole different thing. And
how
they get them. Exactly. Now, you know, a stupid Republicans think, well, they get them by going to the polls and the person votes. It's like, no, that's so old. That's so 2016. And look what happened then, right? No, they know how many votes they have to get. I think what happened in this case, and this is why in certain counties they had to shut off the machines, is Trump was winning by more than they thought.
So he had a tremendous turnout.
So they had to stop the counting. They had to come up with more ballots. But so it's not like when you say election fraud, they didn't have to cheat in every county in the country. They had to pick key counties.
Three cities and three states.
Yeah, with corrupt.
Detroit, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. And they just poured in the votes after vote after vote. And they're happy to cheat. They don't care.
No, they well, what they want to get, the Democrats want to win. So they determine their win number, right, the number of votes they need to win, and then they make sure they have those votes. That's how they do it. And so, you know, the whole ballot harvesting thing, I think that's so 2016 too. Why harvest a ballot when you can just make them up? Right. Or when you can alter the algorithm in the machines.
Well,
to that get
actually
that to
requires
you.
Cheating. The best part about the Democratic one is they can, as long as they can have mail in voting and keep on changing it. So you don't have to get the election on election day. No. That's old fashioned. You don't have to have a signature verification. The Georgia Secretary of State, who's a Republican, said, no, you don't have to verify the signatures. That means you just send thousands
now,
of votes in.
Now, why would Zemian, an idiot? It's
I mean, it's
well,
just
I think,
unbelievable.
I think, you know, you got, again, as Sidney Powell raised the question about the governor and the secretary of state, that were they involved in the Dominion trying to get the voting machines in here, you know, in there? And what did they get paid off? Because the legislature didn't want them. And all of a sudden, the governor and the secretary of state say, oh, no, these are great. These are great. You want to talk real quick before we bring Karen on? You want to talk about the Vanderbilt thing?
Sure. Vanderbilt, my alma mater, where I played rugby and did some kicking. They decided they were 0-8 and they played Missouri, which is 3-3 and one of the few schools in the SEC that actually might beat. And so the coach, Derek Mason, whose
job was on the line.
He's been there 7 seasons and hasn't had a winning season yet, decided that we have a new athletic director who's a black woman who probably is pretty good, but he thought, well, I know what I'll do.
I need to impress her.
So he declared that since a couple of their kickers had gotten COVID, or at least were COVID restricted, that he would ask the soccer coach, and he got over the goalie.
Who's a woman. But they only have a female soccer team.
That's right. And when I was there, they certainly had a male soccer team, but I'm sure with Title IX, they can't. And so they brought over a huge ceremony, massive, just kind of all the media, all the hype, ESPN, USA Today.
More coverage than Vanderbilt has ever received.
Yes.
Probably, like ever, really.
Ever. And then they trot her on. Now, Vanderbilt at this point hasn't got a field goal chance or an extra point. She kicks off for the second half by squibbing it to the 30-yard line and then trotting off the field to hosannas and cheers.
And how long a kick was that?
Oh, it's about 20 yards.
See, I could tell you what. I know I could do that because our yard is that big. Rev could do that too.
Well,
probably
40, so maybe it's 30 yards.
But still, give me a little training.
Then the coach said she was not comfortable kicking beyond the 14-yard line. I mean, that's not a kicker.
But you think it was a second coming. And it's
okay. And Whitlock had a great article and said, a new Jackie Robinson. No, Jackie Robinson was a great player who had to
enormous
be the very
challenges
best,
and yeah,
against huge hatred by lots of people. They weren't hosannaed onto the field and giving them here's first base for you.
You can start at first base.
Yeah, you can start it. You start third. You know, there's a triple for you. And it's just a culture war because all the people cheering on hate football and they think it's toxic masculinity. And the two things they love are women football coaches or basketball coaches bossing men around, you know.
Yeah,
so fun,
as women should.
And then get them ready for marriage.
Well, they don't get married anymore.
Oh, that's true. And then women playing on men's teams. Or they also love men
who are women.
Claim they're women.
Women to play.
To play.
Well,
but she, if you can't kick, if you're not comfortable kicking beyond the 14-yard line, you don't deserve to be out there.
No.
I mean, you're just pathetic.
If you have to be in the red zone to kick your field goal. Well, here's my problem with the whole thing. Number one, this woman, and I guess I don't
Sarah
blame
Fuller.
Her, but here's the thing. So she was actually an elite athlete on her own. She was playing at a college level on the soccer
team.
Well,
they won the SEC.
Yeah. So she'd been a great athlete probably since she was 6 years old, right? And so does she ever get any accolades for that? Had any of them ever heard her name? Did they say, good job, Sarah, you know, for winning and being the winning goalie? No. It's not until she goes out in this complete charade of a kicker thing that now everybody's heard of her. The other thing I want to talk about is she's by not even close close to being the first female kicker on any team.
First Power Five. So there are five big conferences.
On a Tuesday when there was a full moon. Give me a freaking break. I mean, the left just takes everything and they poison it. You know, decades ago, well, not decades, a couple of decades. I mean, Katie Knight, if people may remember her, and I'm friends with her, or was friends with her dad, was at CU, and then she never really played there, but she was on the football team. Then she went to New Mexico, University of New Mexico, actually scored a point, the first one to do that. Here's what I think. I mean, to show this one out, they're doing a really poor job, and not even pretending. She never even practiced with the team. They just trot her out, and she kicks once and then walks off, and then she gets all these things. You've had women throughout history who have actually done some, done the hard work where they weren't getting accolades, they weren't getting praise. They had to really fight to, you can argue, were they good enough or not good enough. But I mean, this takes away from the women who actually really had to work for it. If you can just trot somebody out because you're a coach trying to save your job, and that shouldn't even do anything good. I mean, it's just, the left is, I think that Sarah, and God bless you, Sarah, but I mean, you should have just said, no, I'm not going to be part of your stinking, why don't all you people come cover our soccer players? I mean, that's what she should have said.
She said, no, I'm sorry. I'm scared to kick beyond the 14-yard line. So unless you get almost on the goal, I can kick an extra point maybe. But they said, well, there's nobody else available. I can promise you, on a football team,
they had Hinton was the Broncos quarterback, right?
Yeah, there's lots of guys who were on the team who kicked in high school or junior high school or at some time during the day.
Who could kick 30 yards.
Who could kick beyond the 14-yard line. So it's all a PR stunt, unfortunately, for the coach. They lost 41-0, and he got fired. Now, part of that reason is football is really weird now, but they had 10 players out of 50 drop out saying they were afraid of COVID. And you kind of go, whoa.
Do they get to keep their scholarships?
Oh, sure. And then another 9 just did a transfer portal saying they're going to go to another university. So you don't have to send one guy who's a very good player. He said he would opt out. Then he said he'd play. They played against Florida and they lost against Florida. So then he said he's going to opt out and go to another university. So, they had maybe 2/3 of a team left by the time the AD finally fired this guy.
It's more, like I say, of this psyops kind of thing, right? They're trying to say, oh, because this woman, forget all the women who've actually, forget all the women who've done it before. Forget the fact that she's doing it now. One other thing, and then we'll bring Karen on. I don't know if you noticed this, but the Me Too movement, there was that other hashtag, it was like Time to Stop or whatever it was, right? They formed a charity, a lot of celebrities on it, raised millions of dollars. There was an article today of the millions of dollars that they raised, only like 300,000 actually went to any victims. All of it went to salaries, travel, events, things like that.
And
so
what do you
scammed.
Bet? How, it's a is whole, the Southern District of New York going to indict those people as they did?
Yeah, like they did Steve Bannon. That's right.
No, that's because you didn't indict any charity. And basically they said, well, they they weren't going to take any money and stuff. But these other people said, all we're going to do is steal money.
Now we're talking Reese Witherspoon. I mean, all kinds of they're raising all this money. They're getting paid. Everybody's getting a salary and the victims are getting Zippo. And that's a great point, Chuck. They're not going to investigate them like they did for Steve Bannon. So it's just a joke. Right before we bring Karen Kettling on, I want to bring up one other thing. The pathetic Denver Post. So you've got Mayor Hancock flying all over the universe on Thanksgiving, even though he told all of us that we had to stay home. You've got Jared Polis, who in spite of all of his rules and dictatorships and lockdowns, himself has tested positive for COVID.
And the first gentleman of the state, Mason Reese, has also got that. But neither of them. This is a good point. Neither of them have any symptoms. They're totally asymptomatic and they're feeling fine, which tells you, why are we locking down an entire state for a virus that has such negligible effect on anybody except with massive comorbidities? No. We're doing great.
Well, and here's the other hypocrisy there. So it's like, rules for thee, but not me. So Hancock can fly around, even though we can't. The government, Polis, they want to track you and I, right? If we test positive, they want to know everybody we had contact with. They'll do a news story about, the Chuck and Julie show contaminates everybody, an outbreak, right? Well, Polis won't say where he got it.
No.
Won't say where he got it. My guess is that if he had it, he probably gave it to somebody else in the governor's office. Yeah, do you think we're going to read outbreak at the governor's office? No, we're not. But the Denver Post, with all of this going on, did a hard-hitting article. You know what their article today was about Polis? Where he is ordering takeout from. That's their story. Where is Polis ordering takeout? The reason he has to order takeout is because he's closed every restaurant in Colorado down to make sure they go out of business. And that brings in, brings us to Karen Kelly, our friend. That was a kind of a long-winded, a friend, fellow co-host, spouting off. Actually, she's on all over the country now, and I'll let her tell you all of that. Karen, you want to just do audio today or video too?
Oh, no, I'm trying to get on here. Let's see. I'm clicking.
Clicking.
There I go.
So, Colorado.
Well, I got, yes.
Go ahead.
I got a couple of things to add about a couple things.
Okay.
I'm thinking that Jared Polis has been wearing a mask for the last 9 months, right?
Exactly. Washing his hands
he's got
all the time.
Coronavirus.
Yeah.
He's forced an entire state to mandate people wearing rags on their face, and he's still got coronavirus.
Right, right.
The biggest fraud ever.
Yes.
Anyway, there is one other thing. Hi, how are you? I've been watching from the beginning, and I secretly troll your show all the time because I still love watching you. And, I just want to say for the record that I am more cautiously optimistic than I have ever been about this. I've been watching the hearings. I did radio this morning. And I know we can't go into it and that I'm on for a totally different reason. But for talk show hosts, that's about all we talk about these days is voter fraud and coronavirus, right? Well, on the voter fraud, I am watching, I watched a lot of videos this weekend that are countercultural, shall we say, and I believe that Donald Trump is five steps ahead of them. I believe that he knows this isn't just about his election. It is about the survival of the country, and I hate to say it, but it's true, the survival of the world, because freedom-loving countries look to America. If America falls, this is not terrestrial radio. We're screwed.
Yeah,
so
you can say
we're not going to be screwed. We're not going to be screwed. It's going to be very ugly for a while. But
and Mark is texting us. Yes, to what you're saying. Well, we can talk. Let's do this. Let's do restaurants first, and then get back to the voting because I think they tie in that, you know, like I've been saying.
Well, let's go back to the fact there's a big article in Colorado Politics.
Right. Complete Colorado,
you're right. Mm-hmm. Saying
restaurant revolt.
Yeah, restaurant revolt uprising, which we wanted to bring Karen on because she knows more than little about that.
Yes, well, I read that article, and it's quite interesting. I have my thing all with a bunch of comments on it.
Go for it.
Now, the one thing that still bothers me, there's a lot of things that bother me in life these days, is that even when there's an article extolling the virtues of fighting back and civil disobedience, they still pay lip service to a fraud. Okay?
Yes, yes.
Still say, well, there aren't very many cases in restaurants, which is a very good point. The problem with it is we're talking about a virus that is 99.8% non-lethal, and we are afraid to keep saying that over and over and over again because a lot of people just are afraid to admit that they've been duped to this extent.
And
it's all related.
You know, and let me address that because I tweeted out before the show just to kind of promote you coming on the show, you know, the article. And I don't do Twitter war, so I didn't respond to this woman on Twitter because I'm like, hey, you want to talk to me? Come on my podcast, right? But I will respond to her. So I tweeted that. And then she posts a sad looking picture of herself saying, I just held the hand of a woman who died alone because of COVID. I hope you enjoyed your meal. Well, a number of things. First of all, I don't even believe that she did. It's like, how many of these things have we seen where they just fly about it. Secondly, she didn't die alone if you were holding her hand. Thirdly, if the stupid rules were not in place that prohibited her family from holding the hand of a dying woman, she didn't have to be
and
alone.
Three, you can't hold hands because that transmits the coronavirus.
Who's telling people that they can't see their critically ill and dying relatives? It's the left.
It is a left.
And then
to go back to, like you said, I don't know why the restaurant industry doesn't like call reporters every day and say, let's do a story on this.
They probably do.
Well, that's a good point.
What reporters?
There is no evidence that indicates that coronavirus is transmitted any more at restaurants than it is anyplace else.
Anywhere else. So let me speak to this main issue, which is, there is indeed a growing rebellion, and our friend Sherry Pyfe did wonderful work for Complete Colorado reporting that there are over 100 restaurants in Loveland that are not going to obey. What's interesting about that
is... Are there 100 restaurants in Loveland?
Yeah.
That's what I wonder. That's what I wonder.
Well, it's got to be a lot of them then.
We have to be generalists in this business. Otherwise, I'd go down a rabbit hole that I'd never get out of. But it is true. I said, if that's true, then Weld County and a whole host of other counties have got to catch up. And I think there ought to be a friendly competition to do that. Now, here's what needs to happen. Everybody has to become a community organizer. And that means that restaurants who are simply on the front lines are starting to figure out and starting to do what people like us and our listeners wanted them to do in April, but they weren't ready.
Yes.
Which is to defy the governor, to recognize that this is a fraud. A lot of people come to their own realizations, you know.
Right. Different times.
Different times.
And there is a wonderful movement happening. And I can... publicize this.
Okay.
You have probably interviewed Julie Formby.
Yes.
Does that name ring a bell? She heads up something called Keep Co Free, keepcoloradofree.com. And there's a ton of information there for counties all over this state to organize and learn about what their rights are. And I spoke to her this morning and she said, if you don't know your rights, you're no better than a slave.
Yeah.
It's the reason why slaves were kept ignorant. And I quote her in saying that, paraphrasing. The other thing she said, because again, we can't go down a lot of these rabbit holes. What we can do is broad general organization, because there's safety in numbers. There's always safety in numbers. She said, there is nothing in the Constitution that allows any politician or unelected bureaucrat to take away a citizen's property, shut down their business, or confine them without due process or just compensation. And our job is to educate restaurants and to respect their business, because if people want to stay shut down and commit economic suicide, that is their choice. But to be forced into it is un-American.
Let me bring up a point. You have no rights. Who gave you those rights? Who would enforce those rights? Well, it'd be a bunch of politically correct Democratic judges, including those in the Colorado Supreme Court. And you know, Randy has gone and tried to fight it in the courts. The fact that we have rights, I mean, maybe God gave us some rights, but our government recognizes none of them.
God gave us our rights, period. Whether or not we are living amongst baby dog dictators.
Yes, we are.
And who want to take away our rights is a different issue.
And what to do about that.
Well, Karen, I think you're right. And that's why I'm glad you see. So you see in Loveland, and I think we saw in Larimer County or in Loveland, the law enforcement people there said, we're not going to enforce it. We saw in Castle Rock with some of those restaurants, they said, we're not going to enforce it. And I think that you're right. There is safety in number. I mean, that's what the looters realize, right? We could be restaurant looters or something like that. I mean, you know, if you go looting, they can't arrest all of you, so you're going to get away with your free TV. I mean, I think if enough restaurants are open and if we all you know, I think if you're a restaurant, I wouldn't try to be the poster child for that right now. That could be kind of dangerous. But if we just quietly support those places, go to those places and say, hey, we're there for you. Because I think I told this story before. I have a woman friend who owns a small business. And she said, I'm going to stay open, because she said, what difference does it make to me economically if I go out of business because the governor closes me down, or I stay and fight and they close me down?
So right now, in fact, the legislature is meeting for a 3-day session in which they're going to divvy up, according to whoever's got the best lobbyists, some care funds from the federal government. And we're all supposed to be eternally grateful.
No one is saying, oh, excuse me, I know. Why don't we, number one, restrict the governor's powers? And number two, I mean, we're still under his executive orders, for Pete's sakes.
Well, and I heard from one restaurant owner who said that she was all excited. Sadly, I had to be at Chuck. And she was all excited when two or several Republicans today are running a bill to terminate Jared Polis's emergency powers. And she was all excited. And I said, I'm sorry, but we don't even remotely have enough votes to cover that. She said she's hoping that there'll be some Democrats with a conscience. And I said, sorry to tell you, but no, they don't. They march lockstep. But I do.
Go ahead.
I do want to tell you what happened over the weekend in the holiday weekend of in Weld County. There are a bunch of restaurants in Weld County that are opening or that are open for a lot of reasons, for their own reasons, and the county commissioners have said they're not going to enforce the law. So based on that, they're open.
Yes.
What has been happening is, I don't know if you know this or not, but Polis has sent his goons up to these restaurants to threaten them with their liquor license. I know of at least one restaurant who has had her liquor license revoked. And if anybody thinks that it ends there, it never ends there.
No.
It never, ever, ever ends.
And that's the thing that they do. I mean, the restaurants need the state licenses. And I got to say, that's where we need to have the local communities, the local elected officials stand up and stand up strong.
No, but you don't understand. Your liquor license.
No, I
understand. The state can cancel your liquor license. They don't need the local people to do it. They can do it all on their own. And that's why Polis did it.
Right. Well, exactly. But what happens?
Let's
just say, what happens if they serve liquor anyway? I mean, I think that's what we've got to come
to. They get arrested.
Well, then if you have a sheriff that says, I'm not going to arrest him, it was an unlawful order to begin with.
Well, then they'll send out state patrolmen.
Well, I just think it needs to come. We're coming to a point, like my friend said, what difference does it make if I get closed down by that or by this? It's like, I'm going to open, I'm going to fight. And I think, like you said, Randy's done a lot to try to make a difference there in the courts. But
of course, they're just as woke and as captured as anything else.
We are being put between a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
And the rock is going to get bigger and more cumbersome and tighter around our necks. The jackboot is going to get tighter around our necks. Nobody should think that Jared Polis, Mr. Independent Thinker, is acting alone. He's acting with every single other Democrat governor and official who are being given their orders by outside of Colorado. When he makes little changes around the edges and as much as he can get away with in the state of Colorado, that's just for show.
Yes.
So at this point, I hate to say this so directly. No, I don't. And that is, that we keep repeating these lines that our founders repeated, which were that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Americans now are at the point, we are at the tipping point. And the thing that will make all the difference in the whole wide world, and that's why I'm so cautiously optimistic, is when, God willing, Donald Trump is inaugurated on January 20th. And we have seen now what Chinese communism, you know, first grade, looks like.
Yes.
This is what they're trying to do everywhere.
Well, just compare what the British government did in the colonies from 1773 to
Yes.
1775, compared to what the government is doing to us today.
Yes. And here's, you know, to get to the China thing, and here's why there was another interesting article, and all of this stuff ties together, which is what I love to talk about in this show. Did you see that Nike and is it Amazon and Google, some of these big international corporations are fighting? So in Congress, there's a bill that would basically penalize businesses that did business with the slave labor camps in China. Yeah, which we know exist. So there's slave labor camps there. And Nike and some of these big
Coca-Cola
are pushed, they're lobbying against that. Now, why would Nike, ask yourself, why would Nike want to say, no, let's be nice to slave labor camps? Because it's
money. They use them.
Yeah. I mean, and it all, that's where it is. I think, Karen, it goes back to, I don't think Governor Polis particularly cares whether we eat at a restaurant or don't eat at a restaurant. I don't think he particularly cares whether you wear a mask or don't, but what he does care about is power. And they do these little things to get power over us. And it's like a slippery slope, right? You're like, well, I don't want to lose my liquor license, so I'll close down. Well, I don't want the lady at the grocery store to be mean to me, so I'm going to wear a mask. And all of a sudden, before you know it, we're in this, you know, the whole thing has been, the economy has been reset. I mean, all of this stuff that Biden's talking about is a reality.
Yeah, it is. I have a couple thoughts on this. I might, again, say something a little pointed.
No.
I am fascinated by the people we know who are colluding with evil and who are turning a blind eye. I wrote a piece this morning about, are Republicans squishy or are they corrupt? Well, that's a rhetorical question because they're corrupt. If they're calling for Donald Trump to concede an election, a fraudulent election, then they're corrupt. Forget it. I'm done with that. No more.
Well, and here's
let me just finish this. Okay.
Yeah.
Even Jared Polis has a boss. He'd like us to think he's Mr. Important and he's so powerful, but he is colluding with evil. In many respects, people think he is evil.
Yes.
Why? Because he's taken the Faustian bargain that he's going to get bennies from the Democrats. And the Democrats always offer and dangle things in front of people, their greatest weaknesses. Polis doesn't need money, so they dangle recognition and power in front of his face.
He does need money.
The person that you mentioned, Ted Trimpa, is a perfect example of someone we keep calling a nice guy and who, I'm sorry to say, defends George Soros, who has funded these Secretary of States who are certifying fraudulent elections. He is...
But he doesn't claim anything else.
Down.
He doesn't claim
this country and inciting violence.
That's everybody in the Democratic Party. That's everybody who votes Democratic.
Let me read this. Here, to get to your point about squishy Republicans, we just got this text. It says, Julie, you and Chuck may get a kick out of this Priola bipartisan bill at the special legislature, a pittance for businesses and carve-outs for special interest groups. That's
Pelosi's opera house.
Why is Kevin Priola, a Republican, not saying, Governor Polis, get rid of these restrictions? We don't have to give anybody a car, but we don't have to give anybody any more money if we just let them earn money themselves. I mean, that's what every Republican...
Yeah, but listen, another thing is I'm very much into motive. People don't want to talk about motive. They only want to argue the point in front of them. The truth of the matter is these folks have a motive, and it is total control. The reason restaurants and small businesses are on the chopping block is a deliberate attempt, a deliberate attack on businesses that are too independent, don't have enough money to do business with the government, that they want to shut down. I mean, what could be more obvious than Walmart stays open, but all the little small businesses are forced to close? And people look at that and go, huh, why is that? And then
But American Express will run an ad saying, support your local businesses.
Yeah,
isn't that nice of them? Isn't that
the ones that are still open?
Firefox put something at the bottom of my thing about how I'm supposed to support Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, right.
No, It's, yeah, it's the corporate. Well, they're just buying into whatever, right? They just want, and again, and most of what they're buying into is China. Just no more. If Nike, why would they, I could see maybe not weighing in on a bill regarding slave labor, but why would you say, no, slave labor is good and we should encourage right. it because it makes and our it, products cheaper.
And it's so trendy. You know, if tomorrow right. the Democrat Party decided that slave labor was a terrible thing because they were flipping, those companies would flip like that. And there are so many people that are useful idiots in this scenario, including the big corporations who will get chewed up, including most of the politicians who are useful idiots for people we don't even know their names.
No, they just want that immediate power. Well, Karen, listen, we just got you for a few more minutes. Let me go back to...
Well, let Karen tell everybody about her show and everything else.
Right,
make
that's
sure
right.
she gets
oh,
that
thank
on.
You. More shameless plugs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I do Spouting Off on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. out of Nashua, New Hampshire. And you don't have to live in Nashua, New Hampshire, because I don't. You can go to my website, KarenCataline.com. I also do a BBS show. I'm very proud of it. It is the flagship show of Spouting Off that started on, that is now on Fridays at 2 p.m. So you can watch Spouting Off. I do a whole lot of other things, but mostly I would love it if people would subscribe to my once a week newsletter. I really would like to get to the point where people will shadow ban me. I haven't been able to do that yet. I notice I get all these things of people following me on Twitter, but my number never changes.
Oh, I know. Ours too. Ours goes down. No, I get the same thing. The same thing. It's like, well, listen, and then this ties right in. Mark wants to know, and we'll give you ours too. He says, no more Twitter for me ever. He says, Parler is great. Chuck and Julie and Karen, how do we find you on Parler and Rumble? Here, wait, turn that off for a second.
I am on all of them. Rumble, okay. I'm still getting used to, but I'm on Gab, on MeWe, and on Parler. And Karen Cataline on all of them, at Karen Cataline or / Karen Cataline. It's just a unique enough name. And, of course, lots of Karens, many, many Karens. So.
Okay, and then, Mark, for you, same thing. We're on Parler. It's just Chuck and Julie, at Chuck and Julie. And we're on YouTube, The Chuck and Julie Show. And we're also on Rumble. I'm like you. I'm kind of getting used to it. And that's The Chuck and Julie Show. And we've recently started going on Podbean, The Chuck and Julie
okay.
Show. So,
okay.
So Karen, well, listen, so final then kind of wrap up final thing. So movement is occurring in freedom loving Weld County regarding helping businesses.
Everybody listening to your show or the podcast should go to keepcofree.com, www.keepcoloradofree, and subscribe there. And the great thing is everybody can be a community organizer. You don't have to be Obama to be a community organizer. Go to your county, organize a meeting, get all of them knowing each other, getting together, and then tell Julie Formby about it. And then those groups will speak to other groups. And that's how the Democrats do it.
Right, okay. Right. All right.
And then we can start piling up arms in the western part of the state like the Patriots in 1775 did.
Karen, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're busy all over the place doing radio shows all over, but you've been great as usual.
Thanks again, Karen. I love you.
I love you both. Take
all
care.
Right. KarenCataline.com. And let me say that again, too. To get us, we're on Parler at Chuck and Julie. We're on Rumble, which is Rumble is sort of like a YouTube that doesn't censor. YouTube doesn't censor that much, but it's starting to more. But it's the Chuck and Julie Show on Rumble. And then we're also on YouTube and then Podbean. And if you go to Podbean, you can listen there on whatever your Apple device is, Alexa, Google, whatever way you like to listen to podcasts. You can do that on Podbean. And as soon as I figure out how to live stream on Podbean, we'll start doing that too.
All right. Before we go, I just want to give you a word about Julie McCallum and Synergetics, which is age control. You have it in your power and your ability to control how you age and how you feel. Age is just simply a number, but how you feel is totally different. And Julie McCallum specializes in that. And she gets you feeling great, having all your systems working great, and getting you in better shape and losing weight and go all the way through. So give her a call, 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681.
All right. Well, that, now Wednesday coming up, we're going to have somebody talking about. We're all going to get shadow banned now. About the
John Hopkins study. That the number of people who have died in the United States has stayed static. It's just COVID has gone up 250,000, and then pulmonary and heart attacks have all gone down.
Which isn't really true. They just have switched the numbers. So
there's none. No people people have died.
Right, exactly. Which is what I said a long time ago is how we need to kind of, which would be the telling point, right? If we have massive increase in deaths, then that says one thing, but we haven't. So they're just calling it that. Want to remind folks, you can get our show on chuckandjulie.com. That'll take you over to YouTube as well. We'd love to have you like and subscribe to us. That would be great. We'll have that on Wednesday. Thank you to everybody calling in. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to Karen. Most of all, thanks to the folks at BBS. And we'll see you Wednesday.
And just sure, turn. It's going to be interesting about John Hopkins' study, and I think if that's gets to be known, we've been
conned. That's right.
Won't be surprised. We've been snookered.
All right. See you Wednesday.
Take care, everybody.